I'm Carol Hills. This is The World. President Trump has arrived in Vietnam for his planned summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. Kim has also arrived, having made his way across China aboard an armored train. He reportedly hates flying. This is the second meeting between Trump and Kim, and it comes almost 66 years after this.
At long last, the misery and the bloodshed of the war in Korea has been halted. Let's hope indeed that it's been ended.
An armistice was signed that stopped the fighting, but as this old British newsreel made plain, there were worries even then.
Even if we're right to be guarded about future prospects in Korea, we can at least rejoice that for all the men who are bearing the burden of this war, a halt has been called. The opportunity for a final settlement has been given, and it's right to hope that this will be achieved.
It wasn't. There still is no final settlement or peace treaty. Technically, the Korean War continues. Until now. The Trump White House is signaling that it's willing to consider a formal peace deal with North Korea. Sung-yoon Lee is professor of Korean studies at the Fletcher School at Tufts University. Professor Lee, a formal end to the war, it sounds like a good thing, no?
Sounds like a wonderful thing, but in actuality, in reality, there has been de facto actual peace in Korea, as in no war, since the ceasefire agreement of 1953. And that has implications that mostly favor North Korea. Why? Because in the meantime, South Korea has grown very rich, a model, successful, thriving, affluent democracy. And that means neither the government nor the public, understandably, has the stomach to escalate tension with North Korea. And the default policy has always been, in the wake of North Korean provocations and even lethal attacks, to appease North Korea. Appeasement is fine if the problem is held under control, but North Korea's nuclear capabilities, its lethality, keeps growing.
So you use the word appeasement. That's a big bad word. You say any kind of formal peace with North Korea benefits North Korea. Why?
Well, we know North Korea has flagrantly violated both the letter and spirit of every single international agreement it has signed. So the presumption that North Korea would be less paranoid or more secure in the aftermath of a peace agreement with the U.S. is unfounded. Then why does North Korea seek a peace agreement with the U.S. as it has since 1972? Because under the rubric of peace and reconciliation, North Korea would be able to compel the United States to downgrade its support for South Korea. It would dismantle the U.N. command that has been in place in South Korea since the early days of the Korean War. North Korea would, under the rubric of peace and further reconciliation, evict, compel the U.S. to withdraw troops, not only from South Korea, but from Japan as well. That is the North Korean playbook, and that's why no U.S. administration until today has seriously considered giving the kind of regime that North Korea is a peace deal, but President Trump seems quite amenable to it.
What would an end to the war mean to South Koreans?
Well, you know, the South Korean people, again, opt for de-escalation, rapprochement. So when there's summit pageantry, when North Korea is dangling the carrot of peace and denuclearization, the majority of South Korean people want to believe that and support that. And for any South Korean government, that is good politics because that drives up your ratings. But the fact is, North Korea's nuclear and missile capabilities, in addition to the extremely oppressive nature of the regime, are still the same as they were 60 years ago.
You're South Korean, and I'm sure you're in touch with friends and family back home. What are their views on this?
Well, people who are older, say people in their 50s and up, have misgivings because they remember Kim Jong-il, the father, doing exactly the same thing more than 18 years ago. And Kim Jong-un is playing this game artfully.
But younger South Koreans, from what I read, they're kind of sick of this whole deal. And I think they have a different attitude toward it, don't they?
Well, they're more apathetic rather than skeptical, I would say. They have less interest in history. So precedents don't weigh on their thinking as much as it may with older South Koreans. But there is widespread apathy and indifference to North Korea. You know, North Korean studies is not really offered in major South Korean universities.
Isn't there another option, though, for Trump and Kim Jong-un? They could say, we're declaring the end of hostilities, but it not be quite a peace deal?
Well, for now, that will hold. The de facto peace will hold. But In the wake of a peace deal, peace agreement, or even declaration, North Korea will ask for more. North Korea will not just sit by and say, okay, we feel much more secure. Let's dismantle our nuclear weapons.
One thing I just find interesting is that this situation, I mean, it can't go on forever. We've had situations in the 20th century that lingered for decades, you know, like the Berlin Wall, the Cold War, and then things change. Don't you see any change on the horizon in terms of this standoff between North and South Korea?
I see a lot of changes on the horizon, all favorable to North Korea. Today, I would say, on the verge of signing a peace declaration with the U.S., North Korea sits closer than ever to achieving its long-cherished dream of dominating the richer, the more legitimate South Korea. So I would say visit South Korea while you can, while it's still there. That was tongue-in-cheek, by the way, but that last comment.
Yes, I know. Sung Young Lee is at the Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy at Tufts University. Thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you.